Molly. The Murray Bridge Fringe, of course, hitting this weekend. And on Monday night at the Murray Bridge Performing Arts Centre, it's the return of Shafar. The comedian behind that, Michael Schaefer, joins us this morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, very good. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
You're a man whose jokes people may have heard before, but maybe haven't seen, right? Because you write for the project?
Yeah, I do write some gags for the project. So I write some jokes for, like, you know, Ben Hellier and, like, Tom Little and, you know, whoever the funny guy is on that show. So if you've ever laughed at them on a Monday or a Tuesday, there's a chance that that was my joke. I would have done Mondays and Tuesdays.
What's the difference between owning your own joke on the stage versus having someone like Tommy or Peter deliver them on national television?
Well, when they say them, it's funnier, unfortunately. But you know, but it's just kind of different. Like, I kind of write jokes for their voice, if that makes sense.
Or
it's
okay.
You know, it's like writing a joke for Pete. I'm like, okay, what's a 43-year-old man with two kids going to say about this? But I'm not a 43-year-old man with two kids. You know, I'm a 31-year-old man with a fiancée and no children, and I'm very happy about all those
things. Your ego must be in check, because I feel like I get so upset when someone recycles one of my jokes, even just like at the dinner table or something, you know?
There are times where, like, someone will say a joke and then it gets a big laugh, and I'm like, that was my bloody joke. I want to just, like, storm on the set and be like, give me the credit.
Earning that paycheck.
Yeah.
So what has made you bring this show to the Bridge? We're so intrigued.
Well, I'm really excited to come because I'm performing at the Adelaide Fringe, and then I know that a lot of acts come along to the Murray Bridge, and so I just reached out and was like, hey, do you need, like, a local Jewish man who's lost the testicles to come and perform for you? And I said, Michael, this is the void that we have had at the Murray Bridge Performing Arts Centre for years. You can finally fill it.
So true.
Yes, I'll be coming along to fill that void.
The demographic certainly is missing here in the Bridge. Hey, you talk a fair bit about your personal life and your partner and that on stage. How do you, I mean, we do this as well on the radio show. How do you filter what exactly goes on air? Do you have to run it through your partner?
Look, sometimes I'll say something to her or she'll say something to me and we'll both laugh. And then she'll stop laughing and she'll go, you cannot say that on stage.
Yeah, right.
She does have a final say. And honestly, fair enough. I don't want her to feel upset because sometimes she'll come along. You know, previously I've done some, you know, some material that's a bit X-rated, and she's come along with her friends, hearing it for the first time, and they're all like gasping and looking at her, and so I've learned to run things past her.
That's so funny. People often don't tell me things, I find. Like, I see them about to say something, and then they hold themselves back because they're like, I don't want this going out there.
I don't trust you. You might that on the radio.
No, I do not. You say that your show looks at solving some of life's problems. So I thought I might ask you something I've always wanted to know, and that is, how on earth are we supposed to change our own windscreen wipers? That's always been confusing to me.
Change your own windscreen wipers?
You know,
that's
the little
a great
bit.
Question. Do you know why? I actually don't know how to answer that question, because when I just take my car in for a service, every now and again they'll call me and be like, you need to fix your windscreen wipers, and they're like, it's $12 to do. I'm like, you know what? You guys can do it for $12, because I don't have any idea how I would do that. That's my solution. Have $12 to pay someone else to do it for you.
If somebody said to me it was $100, I'd be like, sure,
as long as
we do it.
I have no idea about anything. Like, I don't know anything about cars. If they said to me it's going to be $15,000 to replace the windscreen wipers, I'd be like, well, I think the car's $2,000, but yeah, you can change the windscreen wipers for $15,000. Let's do it.
Hey, Michael, you are absolutely smashing it on TikTok at the moment, but I noticed you're only following 23 accounts back. What's that all about?
I'm just, like, hard to get, you know?
No, it's, good.
It's because, like, I don't actually want to be on TikTok.
Yeah.
As in, like, I just want to be there, like, post my little jokes and then leave and then spend the rest of my day, you know, actually living my life. Whereas, like, so if I follow people, then all of a sudden it's going to, you know, just get me hooked on more and more. So I'm only following 20 people, and I think most of them are just, like, friends. In fact, most of them are just, I just don't even follow my friends. I'm like, I don't even know what they're up to. I don't want to know. I don't want to see their little dances. I just want to live my life. And I don't want to be on TikTok. But having said that, I spent 7 hours a day on there anyway.
So yeah. Oh, my God. We all get that screen report on Sunday morning and hate ourselves. So
oh, it's the worst. Jesus. I have the thing on, like, TikTok where the message pops up if I've spent more than, like, if I get to 40 minutes on the app. And it's just so funny because the message pops up and I just, like,
ignore it.
Wipe it off my phone away. And it pops up at, like, 8:40 in the morning and I'm like, well, I've spent like 4 hours of this day, so I'm going to swipe this away.
Another thing I love that you do is that you take negative comments that people send you and you turn it into a joke. I just feel like that's so clever. It's so funny. Is that a bit of a coping mechanism as well, though?
Well, it started because I had a few jokes about, like, anti-vaxxers or whatever on TikTok, and then that just got went got shared around a lot, and then like heaps of people were commenting on it and letting me know their thoughts on it. And it was kind of at first really kind of jolting, but then I realised it's actually quite funny the things that people are saying to me. I've got to share this with a wider audience. So so now I decided to post it on Instagram and Facebook. And people, it's actually funny. People are really, I get a lot of messages from people being like, that guy is hilarious. You've got to get that anti-vax stove in yourself for you. Like, I got a message yesterday from a guy who said, oh, you have to be vaccinated to come to your show. And I go, yes. And he goes, well, then I won't be coming.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, you're not exactly boycotting the show, are you? Like, you couldn't come anyway, you know? It's like me saying, oh, I'm boycotting the Oscars this year. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't going anyway.
You are you're very sharp, and just for any other, I don't know, maybe brekkie radio host that might be listening in, not saying anyone, how do you get that sharp with comedy?
How do I get that sharp? Well, it's mostly just been, I've just been on stage for years and years and years. I mean, okay. I started doing comedy, you know, at the back of a Vietnamese restaurant at 10:30 p.m. on a Monday, trying to make three tradies and a dog laugh as they're trying to eat a bunny, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where I cut my teeth. So you can get those three tradies and dog to laugh, and you can hopefully get other people to laugh as well.
I wanted to ask you about putting together a show like this. Are you someone that sticks exactly to the set? You know, okay, these are the, I don't know, five jokes, for example, I'm going to lead up to. Or do you find that certain things happen and then you go, oh, actually, I'm going to slot that in tonight and see how it goes?
100%. Like, it's all very fluid. I feel like cool. If I go on and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm going to do, then you're kind of not present. So I kind of go on with a plan of what I want to do. But then, you know, if someone starts heckling or if, like, there's something happening in the crowd. You know, last night I was performing at Glushany in Adelaide as an open-air venue. I'm getting heckled by bats and crickets halfway through the show. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you've got to address that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm really keen to kind of keep it loose and fluid and deal with what's happening, what's happening in front of me, and just kind of talk about the stuff. But I think that crowd that night is going to laugh at not necessarily the stuff that I had planned to talk about.
That's what I love about The Fringe too, and I'm someone who spends way too much time there over Fringe season, is that you get that unique experience and you can kind of tell that whatever's happening in that moment is just between, you know, the audience and the comedian sharing that moment. It's so cool. So I love that.
Yeah, it's so beautiful when you actually have one of those shows where it's like almost like a disposable show in a sense. Like, it was just for us and now it's gone and it will never happen again. There's something really beautiful about that. I'd love to try to recreate that every night.
Well, for those in the Bridge that don't want to make the hour trip into the city, don't worry. Michael's coming to us, the return of Shafar. It's hitting the Murray Bridge Performing Arts Centre this Monday, the 28th of Feb at 8 p.m. Or if you can't catch it then, you can make the trip into the city. Gluttony for the first week of March. Michael, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.